The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Sabbath observance, which is the third commandment, is confusingly one of the hardest commandments for Christians to keep. In a survey done by Pew Forum, they sought out to find the percentage of adults who attend religious services. And if they do, how often? In the mainline Protestant category, which would be the category to most represent the LCMS, only 33% of members attend at least once a week. 43% attend once or twice a month, or a few times a year. So there's a huge gap in that category there. An astonishing 24% of self-proclaimed Christians say seldom or never. So what this tells me is that 67% of church members in our churches don't believe in the Sabbath. They don't believe in the third commandment to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Or maybe they believe in it, but don't value it. They don't value the Sabbath. The word Sabbath actually means rest. Because when God created the world in 6 days, he rested on the seventh. The seventh day is a Sabbath day. In Mark 2, Jesus tells us the Sabbath was made for man. God made Sabbath day for us. So it must be good. It must be for our benefit. He benefits us on the Sabbath by giving gifts. And we rest in those gifts he has given, material and spiritual. And we don't worry about working on the Sabbath to earn a paycheck. We don't worry about the busyness of our everyday lives on the Sabbath. Rather, we rest in God's provisions. We take one day a week to give thanks to the Almighty God for the first article gifts he gives. Food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, and all that we have. Also, we take that day to receive his second article gifts, to come to church to receive his son Jesus, so that we can rest from trying to reach heaven by our works. But rather, heaven is given to us. Yet only 33% of members in churches value God's Sabbath rest. Only 33% of members value God's provisions. an increasing amount of churches see people as faithful attenders if they go once a month. They don't see faithfulness as an every week thing. But what does Scripture have to say about the faithfulness to the Sabbath? What constitutes faithfulness to the Sabbath? Certainly not man-made laws and rules that we attach to the Sabbath. This is the subject of the gospel lesson. Jesus was invited to a leader of the Pharisees for Sabbath. But they were trying to catch Jesus doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. So knowing what they were up to, Jesus heals a man with dropsy right in front of them. And then he asks the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Jesus asked that because by that time in Judaism, they took the divine command to not work on the Sabbath to now include a list of 39 different activities they can't do. For example, no gardening on the Sabbath. No putting seed in the ground, watering, fertilizing, etc. If you cut veggies, they have to be cut in the right way, in the right size. No writing or erasing. No extinguishing or lighting a fire. This one is kind of funny because today in Judaism, they can't open their fridge and have their fridge light come on because that would be lighting a fire, lighting a light, or creating a light to come on. So modern Orthodox Jews would unscrew their fridge bulb on the Sabbath so the light wouldn't pop on. You get the point. These are man-made rules for the Sabbath, rules which God didn't command. God commanded in Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. But the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day strongly advocated for their rules. They viewed the obedience to these man-made rules as measures of holiness. But in other places of Scripture, the Pharisees were extremely upset with Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath, which goes against their rules. But this account is unique because Jesus pointed out their hypocrisy. He says, which of you, having an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? They couldn't answer. Because some rabbinic traditions allow this. So Jesus points out their hypocrisy. Their hypocrisy fits in well with Jesus' parable right after this in the gospel, when a wedding feast happens. And whenever they come to that feast, they slide right on up to the seat of honor because they think they deserve it. They follow all the rules. They follow all the laws. Well, at least in the way they understood them. They exalted themselves in honorable places without invitation. What improper dinner etiquette. And the host will surely move them to the end of the table, away from the conversation and action because of their conceitedness. Even though Jesus is getting onto the Pharisees for their man-made Sabbath rules, we may be tempted to view the Sabbath as something optional. We may be tempted to think, well, Jesus' healing on the Sabbath means that we can work on the Sabbath. We may think, it's okay to skip church occasionally. I observe the Sabbath once a month. I mean, I have to work to pay bills. 67% of mainline Protestants observe the Sabbath and worship this way too, so it must be fine. This is an abuse against the Sabbath. We should be able to afford one day to rest, one day to worship, one day to rest in and take note of all the provisions that the Lord has given us in our bodies and souls. A day to soak in the Lord's gifts, primarily of forgiveness, life, and salvation. A day to hear that throughout the chaos of life, God is in control. God holds your life in His hands, and He works your life out the way He sees fit. He works out your life, giving you good times and bad, so that you may learn to lean on, trust, and rest in Him. But to rest how? To rest why? What even constitutes a Sabbath rest? To finish the quote from Jesus in Mark 2 mentioned earlier, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. A faithful Sabbath is not how the Jews viewed it, with a hyper-vigilant rule-keeping mentality. A faithful Sabbath isn't how 67% of mainline Protestants view it, that it isn't important at all, and we kind of keep the Sabbath whenever it conveniently fits into our schedules. A faithful Sabbath is the rest of Christ in the tomb. A faithful Sabbath is the Christ who rested in the grave for the entire Sabbath and rose from the dead. A faithful Sabbath is the Son of God who rested from His labors in death. The Sabbath was faithfully kept by Jesus in the tomb. Rising from the grave, He rose to new life, ready to continue His Sabbath work of healing sinners. Jesus fulfills the Sabbath law. So, when we receive Jesus, we faithfully receive and keep the Sabbath. Not because of the laws and rules we keep, but because Christ accomplishes true rest. A rest in eternal life free from sin. A rest from all the worries and cares of the world. A rest from our jobs that we have to provide food for our tables. A rest from the chaos of the world. A rest from trying to justify ourselves from our sins. Especially our sins against the third commandment. Christ faithfully rests on the Sabbath so that He can then work on the Sabbath. He works on the Sabbath in church when He faithfully gives of Himself in word and sacrament and thus gives us true, perfect, heavenly rest and peace. He heals on the Sabbath now, just like He did to the man who had dropsy. Why wouldn't 67% of mainline Protestants want that? By Christ's Sabbath, He moves us up the wedding banquet table to the seats of honor. Those who exalt themselves to the places of honor will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. The humbled will move up because of God's invitation, not because they believed that they needed that placement, that they deserved that placement. But God can only exalt people who are there. At the table. Certainly God invites all to His wedding, eternal wedding banquet feast, but He can only place people at the table who show up. And you're here now. come receive your rest. Come receive Christ at this altar, this table. Not just now, but make a habit of it. Because our Lord prepared this table just for you. And our Lord will surely exalt and forgive all humbled sinners who heed his call for rest. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.